Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Bill Polian joins us live here on Stokely and Zach. Bill, I guess I'll just start here. We've talked to you, a couple times over the last handful of years, and I'm just curious, how are you doing in the midst of the world being turned upside down, and how for you personally has this pandemic been?
Well, I'm good, thank you. We live in just outside Charlotte, North Carolina, and so things have been kind of quiet. My wife and I have basically adhered to the stay-at-home guidelines. That it can be a little boring at time. We're running out of Netflix things to watch. But the only real hardship for us has been unable to see our grandchildren. Two are located in Tucson, and three are located in Florida, and then two in South Bend. So that's been tough. But hopefully things will look up. And what we've gone through is nothing compared to the 100,000 or so folks that have had all this difficulty. So we're blessed, and we wish all of those that are afflicted, and thank all that are working with them for all they do for us.
Yeah, certainly. And we're joined by NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Bill, when you look at the offseason, how it's been disrupted by everything that's going on, obviously there's been no OTAs, no workouts. And how do you think that will affect a team like the Denver Broncos? When you look at them, now they're going to be in their second defensive coordinator, Vic, obviously going to be back for a second year. But offensively, when you look at the young quarterback in Drew Lock having only made five starts, you look at drafting two wide receivers there in the first and second round, and a brand new offense under Pat Shurmur, how do you think that will affect their offense?
Well, it's whenever the season opens, whether it's whether we have a truncated preseason or not, whenever the season opens, we're going to be a little bit behind, and that's going to be exacerbated with teams that have new coordinators, new quarterbacks, and new receivers. So it's going to be less than the most efficient start you could have for the Broncos and other teams like them. But keep in mind that you probably weren't even alive when this happened, Stoke, but back in the good old days, players would leave the facility in late December, and even the playoff teams, the Super Bowl, was only played the second week in January. So even the teams that made the Super Bowl left in January and came back for 1 3-day mini camp, usually at the end of May, usually right around this time, and then left again and went back to their off-season jobs. The mini camp was on a weekend. They went back to their off-season jobs and reported back to training camp. Usually, in those days, we had six-week training camp, so it was usually mid-July. And what they gained in training camp was two extra weeks of conditioning. It wasn't really until the 1990s and 1993, to be specific, that OTAs came into play. And off-season programs didn't develop really in full until the late 80s. So we still had good football. We actually had less injuries in the off-season than we do now because they weren't around and weren't working at the level that they are now. And the quality of play was good. So I'm going to be anxious to see, since we will have no OTAs effectively, I think. Let's see what how the injuries play out. As long as we have 6 to 8 weeks to get ready before the regular season, meaning, and that includes strength and conditioning, organized strength and conditioning, not just on the field, I think we'll be fine.
Bill Polian, the legendary Hall of Famer, joining us here on Stokely and Zach. I have to go here. There's a lot of people around Broncos country that that believe that we should be lowering our expectations for the Broncos offense because of, you know, what Stoke just kind of referenced, this lack of offseason, but it's a brand new offense. It's a young quarterback who's only played 5 football games. You got new receivers, new tight end, new offensive line. In terms of expectation for trying to get out of the muck and the mire of where the Broncos offense have been, should we be going about this thing with extreme patience and maybe not even expecting to see the dividends pay off until 2021? Or is it, hey, no excuses, no explanations, figure it out?
No, that doesn't work. Not with the change that is being put on this offense. That's too much to take that approach. I think what you should be looking for, let's start with the quarterback. Are we seeing the kind of growth and development in him that would make you think that he can take it to the promised land at some time in the future? Do you see the growth and development of the receivers working together and you know, meshing with him and meshing with the offense? How is the offensive line doing? There are people that would make an argument that any offensive line would be better than what you've had in the past. So that's not a high bar, right, by any measure. So bottom line is, who's left? The running game should be pretty good. I think it'll be pretty good, and Pat will emphasize it. And then you look for the quarterback and the receivers to grow together. And by the time we hit week 12, if we have a full season, the measurement should start from week 12 on. Look, go back. Stoke, I'm not sure you were with us at the time, but Peyton's rookie year, the turnaround took place in week 12. We started to see things getting better and better and better, and even though it didn't reflect itself in the record, we could tell that the arrow was moving up, and that's what you should be looking for, not much else, because it's almost impossible, particularly when you add all of this disruption that's taken place in the offseason, to get the kind of progress that would make you an immediate contender. That's asking too. That's a bridge to borrow a phrase from Dr. Fauci. That's a bridge too far.
And we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Mr. Polian, when you know, you were with the Colts, you had a great wide receiver in Marvin Harrison, obviously, Hall of Famer. Peyton Manning was Peyton Manning, right? You could see that he was going to be the real deal. And you went out in the first round there in the early 2000s, and you still drafted Reggie Wayne to complement those guys. What was your thought process there? Because we're looking at the Broncos here, and they got a, you know, obviously a young quarterback that hasn't done much in the NFL, just played 5 games, but they have a number one wide receiver in Cortland Sutton. A lot of people thought they should go offensive line in the first round, but they went with Jerry Jeudy. What was your thought process there when you selected Reggie Wayne in the first round?
In this day and age, you neglected, you know, modestly to say that we went out and got you in free agency too. So in this day and age, you need to have 3 quality wide receivers that the defense has to honor. You have to have a tight end who's really efficient. If you're lucky enough to get a Dallas Clark, then that's great. But at a minimum, he has to be efficient. And if you don't have those weapons, it's hard to operate an offense that can go all the way. Because in the playoffs, late in the season, when the games are really meaningful in the division, you have to have the kind of firepower that can win shootouts. I mean, I don't care how good Vic's defense is, and it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. And it may border on great if he's able to get the right components in place, because he's really an outstanding defensive coach. But you're going to have some shootouts with the Chiefs. I mean, that's just the facts. Houston was up 17-0, right?
Yep.
And boom, in the wink of an eye, it was gone. So you have to have firepower across the board, and number one. And number two, Jerry Jeudy affects the entire defense. A tackle affects one position. I mean, let's be honest about it. Jerry Jeudy makes at least 2.5 people in the secondary and maybe a linebacker react to his presence out there. the tackle's only blocking one guy. It's just simply a matter of how they affect the defense. And I know that, you know, there are certain people that say running backs aren't important and wide receivers fall off trees. It's not true.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love that. And the one and the only Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, joining us. Mr. Polian, I got to ask you this question. You evaluated talent for decades. You've been looking at talent since the late 1970s when you were a scout with the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to get hits and you're going to have misses. You did not believe that Lamar Jackson was going to be as successful as he ended up being. And I have a two-part question for you. Does Lamar Jackson go down in all your decades of evaluating talent as the one that you'd like to have back the most? And I'm also curious, on the other side of the coin, who's a guy that you really believed in and sort of stuck your neck out for and really paid dividend after dividend?
I really couldn't go back far enough in my memory to give you an answer on that, on the latter question. I don't focus necessarily on individual players that I liked or didn't like. I mean, in the end, it's the result that counts. I don't count up my hits and misses. I've measured this for years and said, number one, the best of us, Ron Wolf and myself, Jim Finks, who are general managers that are in the Hall of Fame, the best of us bat 550. This is an inexact science. So I'm not going around asking for any medals or remembering any great choices that I made or didn't make. I do remember all of the people like Stoke who played on our great teams. That's the whole object of it.
Sure.
It's not about winning the draft. It's about winning games. Secondly, with respect to Lamar, he's playing in an offense that's specifically designed for him and his skill set. I was using another platform to evaluate him, the traditional NFL quarterback model. And I was wrong to use that platform. If I'd extrapolated and said, okay, if we put him in an option run-oriented offense, he can be, really successful quarterback, then I probably would have made a better evaluation, but I didn't, and so that's that.
Mr. Polian, we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Do you think that more offenses in the NFL will start going that route to spread offenses or more run-heavy offenses like we see Lamar Jackson in Baltimore just because the transition for these guys, it makes it so much easier? Do you think we'll start seeing more of that trend? I mean, we've seen a little bit of it. Do you think we'll start seeing more and more throughout the next few years?
Well, there's a lot of spread stuff in the National Football League right now. I mean, RPOs, all of that stuff is are offshoots of the spread. And the coach at Florida State now, Rick Leach, gets a lot of credit for, putting in the air raid or whatever you want to call it. That's in the National Football League now. But, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff, the option routes versus zones and the conversions that, we were doing it when you were playing in Indianapolis. That's not new, but there's more of it than when we were doing it. That's true of the no huddle as well. We were doing the no huddle back in Buffalo in the late 80s. Now there's just more of it. So I think it goes in trends. Now, in terms of the running quarterback, the so-called option quarterback, as opposed to Russell Wilson, okay, let's use Russell Wilson as the on the one hand, and Colin Kaepernick on the other. Colin Kaepernick is a guy who essentially ran the option, same offense that Lamar Jackson runs, same coordinator, by the way. That is an offense that's specifically designed to use the quarterback as a runner, not as a guy who extends plays and then looks down the field after extending and makes big plays in the passing game the way Russell does and Patrick Mahomes does. That's a design quarterback run. The latter is a design quarterback run offense. I I don't think that that can sustain itself in the NFL for long, because guys get hurt. You know, right. Quarterbacks running, there are no old running quarterbacks in the NFL because their talents don't last long. Now, the thing that's interesting is that there is no question that what you said is correct. There are more of those guys coming out of college. And so you have to ask yourself the question, if the guy that's doing it now so successfully finally runs out of gas, i.e. Cam Newton, because he's injured, and not that Cam had a lot of design runs, but he did make a living running the football. After the injuries catch up, do we recycle, keep the offense and recycle with a similar guy? That's an interesting question, and I don't have an answer to it.
Yeah.
Bill Polian joining us here. Before we let you go, and of course the Hall of Famer, six-time NFL Executive of the Year, you are starting a podcast, if I'm not mistaken. Do you mind telling our audience about that?
Not at all. It's called Inside Football with Bill Polian. It's available on iTunes and any other place that you get your podcasts. And it's designed to use the retrospective of my 35 or so years in pro football and to repeat some of the in detail some of the things I've learned. This first episode that's up now talks about the drafting of Peyton over Ryan Leaf. And it sort of peels back the onion. It tells you what goes on, how the to use mixed metaphors, how the sausage is made in the NFL, what goes into the decisions on one quarterback versus another, or one coach versus another, or how you build a team in the salary cap era. So it's designed to be both entertaining and educational, and thus far the reviews have been pretty good. So I'm happy with it. It's fun to do, and I'm looking forward to more of them.
I love it. I can't wait to check it. I got one more for you, Mr. Polian, before we let you go.
Fire away,
if you don't mind, we certainly appreciate your time, and we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. When you look at Tom Brady and him moving from the Patriots to Tampa Bay, how do you think that's going to work out for him? And do you think he's still got a lot of good football left in him?
Well, I think he has some good football left in him. Father Time is undefeated, as we all know. But the bottom line is this. History tells you when an elite player like Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers changes teams after they've been with one team their whole career, they have a spurt, a year or two spurt, where they still maintain a high level of play. And then it's usually, the end usually comes because of injuries. So if history is any guide, then both of those guys probably will have good years this year, and then we'll see where they go in terms of staying healthy.
The one and the only, the Hall of Famer, Bill Polian. Go check out the podcast, Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian. It's available on iTunes or whatever platform that you do listen to your podcast. Check this one out. Mr. Polian, we thank you so much for stopping by and giving us a piece of your time once again.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Great to talk with you, Stoke.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.